Again tonight, we're blessed to have the beautiful day, a beautiful place in which to meet and to study God's Word together. As we look at a passage here that is familiar to us in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing all, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So tonight, as Doug has said already, we want to look unto Jesus every day, every hour of every day. And in this life of ours, we run this race alone. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 beginning, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We're running this race alone. I can't run it on somebody's coattails. I've got to do this by myself. So in this way, we run the race alone. Again, in Romans 14, and verse 11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. In this way, we run this race alone. We will be saved because of what we do, not because somebody has done it for us. And in another way, we run this race together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, back in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12 and verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. That's our job and our responsibility when we see this occurring. We need to do this. That's why announcements are made. When we see that somebody is not here or somebody is sick, we might read about it in the bulletin, or we might hear it here from the pulpit. Then we need to take note of these things. Somebody might need an encouraging word, or somebody that hasn't been attending faithfully that needs this encouragement. What happens to a car before it quits? It starts missing, doesn't it? And sometimes members of the church do that. And when they start missing and nobody cares, then they eventually quit. I recall when I was a young man, 10, 11, 12 years old, we'd come home from services. First thing my mother would do was go to our phone, the one phone that we had in the house, on the wall in the kitchen, and she'd start calling some people who weren't at services that Sunday morning. My mom had three boys that were starving to death. You know how that is. And so we wanted her to put that roast on the table and the mashed potatoes and the beans and the cornbread and all that. But she had some calls she had to make beforehand. And if somebody missed services with a good reason and not an excuse, then the next question was, is there anything that we can do? And a lot of times people say, no, there's nothing you can do. Well, sometimes there is, and we just choose not to do it. We just need to go ahead and do those things to help those whose hands are hanging down and whose knees are feeble spiritually. Again, in verse 15 of the same chapter, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. This sort of thing is infectious. Barney Fife used to say, nip it. Nip it in the bud. Some of you might remember that phrase. And we need to nip problems in the bud. Smokey the Bear would say, put it out, dead out, put the campfire out and not the forest fire. That's how we solve problems, by not waiting, not delaying, not dilly-dallying around and hoping somebody else will do it for us. We need to get our hands dirty and get into the work of the Lord. Again, we run this race together, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. How do you do that? In the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. How would you like it if you needed help? How would you like it if somebody came to help you spiritually? Do we want to come down on them with knees and elbows, gnashing upon them with our teeth? Or do we need to consider ourselves to restore such one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted? Bear ye one another's burdens. Well, sister so-and-so didn't speak to me today. She just got up, walked right out. Well, if you saw there was a problem, do something about it. Don't throw more wood on the fire. Don't cause a division, but end the division, end the problem. Do you know what she might need? She might need somebody to put their arm around her and say, what's happening, hon? Is there something we can do to encourage you? We run this race together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. When I was growing up and with our children growing up, if somebody wasn't sitting at the table during a meal, we knew where they were. We knew where they were and why they weren't there. And so it is with the Lord's church. We need to be this close to one another. In Hebrews chapter 11, we are pictured as in a great arena. The apostle says, with so great a cloud of witnesses. Just think about this physically. Imagine being cheered on by some of the greatest athletes of the day. If some of you have played basketball or football or baseball or some athletic contest. And there were those who were cheering. You know, I never did like practice. If the coach had said, Mo, all we're going to do this year is practice. We're not going to have any games. We're just going to practice. I played better. I played harder when the crowd was cheering for our team. You can understand that, can't you? Imagine that. You can physically, can't you? Well, how about spiritually? Imagine all of the great leaders of the past of God's people. This great cloud or this great crowd of witnesses of Abraham and Moses and Noah, Jacob and Joseph and David. As it were, we can see what they did, and in a way they are cheering us on. When I read about their history and their lives, isn't that awesome? And we can say they did it, and so can I. Did you know in the last century it was said, nobody will ever run a 4-minute mile. It just is physically impossible to do. But one man did the impossible. And I saw a race several years ago where 8 of the runners ran less than a four-minute mile. 8 of them. Something that before couldn't be done. But we see as Jesus did, he conquered, and all of these great men conquered. And how about these? How about these women? How about Ruth? Isn't that an awesome story? Isn't that a tender, tear-jerking story? Verse 18, you need to read verse 18 of chapter 1 of the book of Ruth. When her mother-in-law asked her to go ahead and leave her. Can you go ahead and read that maybe tonight? Maybe on your way home. And Esther, what did she do? She saved her people, didn't she? What did her uncle say? Who knows? That you're into the kingdom for such a time as this. Mary. Wow. And Hannah. And Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. And Sarah. And on we could go. this great cloud of witnesses, the list could just go on and on. So imagine, as we read their life stories and their history, how they indeed do cheer us on. One slogan of an equestrian race, the American Endurance Conference, which was a 100-mile race on a horse. And the slogan was, to finish is to win. Whether you came in first place or not, if you finished that race, you were a winner. I talked to one of the riders in that race. And she said, Mo, she said, these horses have to be encouraged. After such a long run, and they, of course, they don't run at all. There's some walking. But she said, there comes a time when the horse just says, that's it. I cannot take another step. Moms, you might have felt like that way someday. That's it. I can't do anymore. Okay? She said, I had to dismount. I had to get off of my horse and talk to her. She said, I put my arm around her neck and petted her and stroked her face and said, we can do this. We can do this. Come on, you can do this. And she said, when I got back on, she took off. She was ready with a little bit of encouragement. Can we do that to others? That we may see who are faltering and failing and just have stopped. I don't know the number of the good that my mother did with those phone calls and the visits that she made. In her 70s, she was mowing yards for people who were a lot younger than her but weren't able to mow their own yards. Doing things. More blessed to give than receive. And somebody said, oh yeah, as long as you do all the giving and I do all the receiving, I like that. That's not the way this race is run. We run this race alone in one sense, but together in another. Well, what can we learn from Old Testament runners? Fred mentioned this verse tonight at our dinner table. Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Somebody say, oh, you don't believe in the Old Testament. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, don't we? It was written for our learning in the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. Paul said, now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, that examples, and they are written for our admonition. That was what the Jews did that was wrong. And how many died in the wilderness? Because of their immorality and ungodliness. And Paul said that was written for our example, for our admonition. You don't want to go there because the God they served is the God that we serve. So we can learn from the Old Testament. The Old Testament runners. We can master our circumstances, can't we? We can do that. Many of which are out of our control. The defeatist says, poor guy. He never had a chance, did he? He just never had a chance. Well, look at his parents. It's no wonder he grew up like that because his parents were bad examples all the way through. Look at the color of his skin. Look where he was reared. Just poverty. There was just no way he's going to make anything out of his life. Or what happened to him in his youth. That's what the defeatist says. Some of you may remember this modern day example, Sammy Davis Jr. Some of you a little bit older than 40 maybe might remember him. He was a black entertainer. He said, I heard this. He said, another black entertainer came into my dressing room and was complaining about his situation in life and all the problems that he had. Said, I'll never make it like you, Sammy. I'll never be a star like you. Well, he sure won't if he keeps thinking like that, will he? So Sammy preached him a little lesson. He said, look, I'm short, and he was, skinny, and he was, blind in one eye, ugly, and he admitted, and he was black, a Jew, a black Jew, married to a white woman, and he said, you think you've got problems? Get over it. We can all sit down and we can all have little pity parties, can't we? Or we can lace up our bootstraps and say, I'm going to do it. I see this fellow on the news that got injured. He was a bomb detector, I guess. He said, I had a whole lot of good days, but only had one bad day over in Afghanistan when a bomb went off, blew his legs off. He's now a senator. Yeah. Could he have laid in that bed? Poor me, I'm never going to make anything. Or did he straighten up and get up and get on with his life? You know what he did. How about Joseph? Is that a man that could have thrown in the towel? Shake your head this way. Let's look at his life. Father thought he was an oddball. You know, with these dreams? What? Hated by his 11 brothers. Did you know when they saw him coming in the morning? When they got up and walked by him, they couldn't speak peacefully to him. Read his story again. You'll see how they hated him. They wanted to kill him. Let's see what's going to happen to this dreamer. He went after his brothers because his daddy told him, go find out how they're doing. And when they weren't there, he'd walk 50 miles. And when they weren't there, he found out they were 20 miles farther. And he went. He went on, and he found his brothers, and they put him in a pit. And he begged them not to do what they were going to kill him there, just leave him for dead. But eventually sold him into slavery, to make a long story short. Then they told their father that he was dead. Tell me you could do that. Remember they gave their father his coat that they'd put animal blood on? Yeah, that's Joseph's coat. Surely he's been torn to pieces. That's hatred, isn't it? Joseph was imprisoned for years. For what? What had he done wrong? You remember the story? Yeah, look at the outcome of his life. Did he make something good out of his life? Second in command to only the Pharaoh in Egypt? Could he have laid down, well, God, if this is the way it's going to be, I've tried to be a good boy, and he was, but I'm going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to face all of these challenges. Did Bible characters have problems? What do you think? Others would have raised the white flag. I want you to read Galatians 6 and verse 9 with me. Let us not be weary in well-doing. You know why I said that? Because we can get weary in well-doing. Well, just throw up our hands. What good did it do? Try to help somebody, try to do good for somebody, and they turn around and kick you. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, in God's own time, don't you get in the timekeeping business. In God's own time, you shall reap if we faint not. What if you do faint? What if you do quit? What if you do become weary? You're going to reap also, but you're not going to like what you reap. So he encourages us, let us not be weary in well-doing. For in God's time we shall reap if we don't throw in the towel. One version says, if you do not flag. I wondered what that meant. Do not flag. What? Some of us remember the old cowboy movies. The crook would get caught behind a stone wall and was trapped all around by the sheriffs and the deputies. And he'd always have a white handkerchief in his pocket. He'd tie it onto his rifle. And he'd tie it and he'd wave the white flag. That's what it meant. Do not flag. Do not raise the white flag. Do not quit. Do not throw in the towel. And that expression comes from the boxing ring. When a manager sees his man getting beaten up, he throws in the towel. It's over. We can't do that in this race. No matter what the devil throws at us, we cannot quit. We must not quit. Will it be worth it? As we said earlier, there's no pity party. And you may need to be the encourager. As Paul encourages us here, you may be the one that has to help somebody in need. Lift up their hands and their feeble knees. Encourage them. You can do this. We can do this. I need you here. Do not bury your talents as the one talent man did. Did you notice there were 5, 2, and 1 talent men, but there were no 0 talent men? I tell you what, if I'm not doing anything for the Lord, I'm burying my talent. Jesus didn't talk about a no talent man, did he? No, he didn't. And those who did what they should were blessed because of it. And so will we be. Will you have to dig up your talent? Well, what is my talent? I better know what it is, shouldn't I? Before it is everlasting too late. Looking unto Jesus. Literally, Paul says, looking away to. Looking away from all the distractions. Does the devil place distractions in front of you? Are there some of the members here that could be here tonight that are not here because they were distracted? Sometimes it's a football game. Sometimes somebody said, oh, I got to see my program. Excuse me? You have to do what? Or we had company come and, Well, an excuse, you know what that is? It's just a lie in Sunday clothes, isn't it? We dress it up to make it look well. Anybody would have stayed home if they'd have had what I had. I've thought about taping some of these excuses and then playing it back to the people who gave them. Riches, fame, wicked companions, the lures, the temptations of sin. All of these things, we need to look away from them. Look away from them. What did John say? 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world. Many are choosing to do that, aren't we? Because this world has a lot to offer. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that's all the longer you're going to be here. One of these days, as we said Sunday, we're all going to die. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If a man love the world, the love of God is not in him. That's not beating around the bush. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father. Well, where does it come from? That comes from the devil, doesn't it? It is of the world. You know why you shouldn't love the world? Verse 17 tells you. For the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. That is not eternal. You are not eternal on this earth. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Do you think those Old Testament worthies, male and female, think it was worth it what they did to obey God? Shake your head this way. Oh, I'm sorry I made it to heaven. Oh, this is so awful. Every day. Or the rich man in the book of Luke. Send Lazarus to dip his finger in water. Place it on my tongue. I am tormented in this flame. And he remembered everything in this life that he did, that he had. He fared sumptuously every day. He wore the best clothing. He had the best of it all, but not forever. But now he's in a place that is forever. Love not the world. Remember Lot's wife, Luke 17 and verse 32? They were told, that family was told to leave the city and don't look back. But what do? We look at Mrs. Lot and say, why would she do that? When we have members of the church doing it every day. leaving the world and coming into Christ. And then all of a sudden, the devil gets a hold of them again. Peter describes it this way. If after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, what happens? The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Well, why is that so? For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But, verse 22, but it is happened unto them according to the true proverb. You know, this is not pretty, is it? The dog is turned to his own vomit again. Stop. If you've lived very long at all, you've probably seen that. Is this pleasant to talk about, especially after you've just eaten? The dog is... I can take you just outside Mitchellsburg, Kentucky, to my uncle's farm. I can take you by the fence post where that dog was, where I first saw that. And just like Peter said, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Go on, Brother Hafley. This is making me sick. Good. Because it's picturing someone who found the Lord, who obeyed the Lord, and then decided to go back to the devil. That's what you're doing in the eyes of the Lord. But he's not through. And the sow that was washed, her wallowing in the mire. Well, that's better than that dog returning to his vomit. Then you don't know what mire is, do you? I was an electrician's helper, and for 1 week we worked on a hog farm. And we were knee-deep. We had our boots on knee-deep every day for 8 or 9, 10 hours walking around in the mire. You know what? None of us, the three of us that worked there, none of us said, let's dive in. You slip, you do everything, stay out of that. According to the true proverb. You want to turn back to the world? That's what you are doing. Eating your own vomit, as it were. Wallowing in the mire after you were once clean. I want you to get a 8x10 glossy of that and burn it into your mind to keep you from doing what others have done. We must keep our eye on the goal. What Paul do? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You replace any other word in there for Christ. For me to live is what? You name it. Could be pleasure, popularity, fame. Don't want to lose my friends. For me to live is Christ. If it's not Christ, then to die will not be gain, will it? It will be pain. And that forever. You know, when I've had the flu or I've mashed my thumb or hurt myself in some way, you know what I know? That the Calvary's on its way. This won't be like this forever. This pain will go away. I will get medication to help. But not so in eternal torment. We need to get plain with ourselves and see where we are headed and make sure that it is heaven. I'm just going to place up here some things that Abraham Lincoln had to face. I don't know if you can read them as fast as we put them up there. I don't want to take the time to do that. In 1848, lost renomination. 1849, rejected for a land office position. 1854, defeated and run for the Senate. Defeated and run for the nomination for vice president. And on it goes. But finally elected president. Could he have thrown in the towel? And generally speaking, when somebody said, who do you think the greatest president is? There's the man. Did he face a lot of adversity? Do you face a lot of adversity? Yes, you do. Some of it none of us know about, but God knows. So let's overcome what might be in our way. There's difficulties in long distance running, isn't there? Some of you have done that. Wyatt does it every morning. Every morning. And if you're an Olympic athlete or you're a track athlete or anything, you run, you practice in all kinds of terrain, cross-country runners, long-distance runners, all kinds of suffering, weather conditions, bodily weariness and aches and pains, blisters and blood in your shoes, faster competitors. Oh, why bother? My coach said, don't you fall down in the race. You're going to feel like it sometime. You're going to be so tired. Don't fall down. Said, we're not coming down out there to get you. Do not quit. What did Paul say? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Do not throw in the towel. Do not lay down on the job. All kinds of discouragement are thrown at us in this life. Oh, you drive by these huge church buildings and you see 400 or 500 cars out there, it looks like, in their parking lot. And here we are. Oh, you're that little group. Think you're the only one going to go to heaven. Oh, why do we go through it? Will it be worth it? I think you know. Remember what Paul said in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 11? All of the perils and all of the trials, the beatings that he endured, stoning and left for dead, perils among robbers and thieves and brethren. You know what he said at the end? That which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Why, he would write to them. I remember reading J.D. Tant, Texas preacher, the old Texas preacher of a couple of centuries ago. When he said he'd been in a meeting, he said, we had a great meeting. No one was baptized, but 12 were withdrawn from. He said that was a successful meeting. Because it needed to happen. It needed to happen. Judy and I moved to the little city of Salem, Ohio, back in 1975. 100 years ago. I got to looking through the directory, and there was a lot of people in the directory that weren't coming to services. So in our business meeting, I asked, where are all these people? I said, well, they've just quit coming. I said, well, we need to discipline them. We need to talk to them. Have you talked to them? Well, no. But they said, if you talk to them or you discipline them, then we'll lose other members of their family that are still here. Well, why was that said? To discourage withdrawing from these people, because we're going to lose more members. And if we lose more members, Brother Hafley, you'll lose a job. That's why that was said. But we talked to those people, and we got over half of them back. And no, we did not have anybody leave because we withdrew from other members. Just doing the will of the Lord, standing up for what is right and doing what is right. Even in the midst of trouble and trial, things will get better when you do it the better way. Jesus was faithful in the face of tremendous persecution, wasn't he? We read it earlier. Consider him, the New International Version says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Did he? Think about it. Think about in the Gospels what Jesus endured. What Isaiah said about him. A man of sorrows. Everywhere he looked, everywhere he went, everyone nearly turned away from him. He endured such opposition of sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Consider him. Wow, what Jesus went through. So can I. I can do it. How many of us have suffered, shed blood for the cause of Christ? Maybe if we were a little more bold in our teaching and the preaching of the gospel. The devil doesn't like it, but the Lord does. Jesus was faithful in the face of tremendous persecution. Hebrews 5 and verse 7, listen. Paul again says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Does God hear your prayers? Well, let me ask you first, do you ever pray? Well, Brother Hafley, I know I don't pray like I should. Well, because you said that, does that make that all right and you can just continue not praying like you should? Or are you going to saddle up and get busy praying to God? And let me tell you, your prayer doesn't, my brother-in-law keeps reminding me, your prayer, like your sermons, don't have to be eternal to be immortal. For God to hear them. Look at Jesus' little short prayer in Matthew chapter 6, 6 through 9. You can read it in about 15 seconds. Can you wake up in the morning and thank you, Lord, for the good night's rest? Thank you. Thank you, Father, for my food. Thank you for my clothes. Thank you for the ability to breathe on my own, to feed myself, to walk. Just saying. Jesus went through it. He was our vanguard. He was our leader. Well, how could he do it? The writer also tells us in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 that long distance runners, not always in front of the crowd. Sometimes we're by ourselves. Paul tells us in these three verses or four, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Muhammad Ali was a boxer several years ago. And a fellow said, oh, I wish I could be like you. Just get in the ring for a few minutes and win millions of dollars. He said, sir, you do not see me at 3 o'clock in the morning running down dark, lonely rain fields. Environment, freezing, rain. He said, you do not see me at McDonald's scarfing down Big Macs and milkshakes. He said, you don't know what I go through to get here. What will we have to go through to get to heaven? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible, but we an incorruptible. There's the difference. Have you ever won a blue ribbon or a trophy? Some of us have been years ago. Do you know where they are now? You might have prized them then. Oh, look, somebody take my picture. Corruptible, but ours is incorruptible. Paul says, I therefore so run, not uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Fred, there's another example of once saved, always saved. Paul knew he could be lost, didn't he? Sure did. Somebody said it's all right if you talk to yourself. And it's all right if you answer yourself. Sometimes you need to give yourself a good talking to. Sometimes you need to say, stop it! Or get up and get busy. You need to do that. Well, nobody else does. Well, that makes it okay. Right? What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Does he not see? Huh? Does he not see us? He sees us in everything and every part of our life. Every part of it. I believe that's Matthew 25. When you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Let's get busy. How can we do it? Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. What mind was that? Leaving heaven and coming here. You know, somebody said, how would you like to go live in some of these other countries? Ready to go? Jesus did more than that, didn't he? He didn't come here to be glorified, did he? No, he came here to serve. And we need to be like our master and serve as he did. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We need a mind transplant. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember Paul's admonition? I don't know how he could write this. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Somebody ever tell you, well, you haven't changed a bit. I said, I got some pictures that'll show you I have. I've lost a lot of things I didn't want to lose, and I've gained a lot of things I didn't want to gain. Yeah, yeah. Sure enough, it happens. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. How do you do that? By putting the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, Matthew chapter 6, will be added unto you. Verse 17, for our light affliction. Paul's writing this. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment. That's what he could understand. He knew all of the beatings and all of the times he was injured and starving and cold. This is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. How are we doing, folks? How are we doing? Can we remember the great reward of Matthew 5 and verse 12? For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Don't feel like the Lone Ranger, okay? As was said about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know, sometimes I can't see the joy set before me, that is heaven, because of everything the devil puts in my way. But Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God, like Joseph did, stayed with it through thick and thin. Jesus never forgot the joy. Have you? We must picture ourselves hearing. Can you picture that? Is this what you want to hear? Or do you want to hear the other answer? Do you want to hear, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord? Sure you do. Sure you do. Make certain you have registered properly for the race by being baptized into Christ. And then run for your life. Run like you've never run before. We're going to stand and sing this invitation song in just a moment to encourage you if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation. He responded to God's will. Not my will, but thine be done. Won't you let that be in your heart as well? Let God's will be your will and obey it right now while we stand and while we sing.